So 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 14. Most of you know this verse, but it's a great verse. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is," chapter 4, verse 17, 1 John.
17.
Verse 17.
Verse 17.
I didn't say that?
No.
Oh, sorry. Why did I say that? Okay. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." You know, we are supposed to identify ourselves with Christ. And as we think of ourselves in terms of Christ in us, it says, as he is, that's what? Present tense, right? It's not as he was. As he was on earth, you know, he did a lot of great things, but he suffered and died. But as he is the resurrected Christ, the one that sits on the right hand of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So he's the triumphant Christ, the victorious Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll get there. In verse 21, it says...
What, 1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I should print them and put them up somewhere. Okay. "For he hath made him, he being God, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So in Christ, we are righteous or just. We're the justness of God. We're the righteousness of God in who? In Christ, right? In the Old Testament, it was accounted unto Abraham to be righteous. You know, and then God gave him a sign of circumcision. And it says that in Philippians, it says that now we are the circumcision of God. But the Jews thought, wow, because we're circumcised, we're righteous. They forgot the believing part. You know, and it was accounted to them. It wasn't, they weren't made the righteousness of God, or Abraham wasn't. He was accounted righteous before God. You know, it's a little different. At the judgment seat, I guess he will be righteous. But anyway, so we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God and made Holy Spirit available to us. And when he put that Holy Spirit available into us, he couldn't put it in us if we weren't made righteous. Right? Because his spirit is holy. And it couldn't be in an unrighteous being. That's pretty cool to think about, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "But of him," of God, "are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." What a great thing. He's made it unto us in who?
Christ Jesus,
right? Not the Christ Jesus that hung on the cross, not the Christ Jesus that suffered and died, but the Christ Jesus that ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. You know, that's who it's in him. You know, that's the one. We're righteous in that ascended Christ, in that victorious Christ, in the Christ that overcame everything for us. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're made the wisdom of God. You know, we have the sanctification and redemption. You know, redemption means to buy back with the ransom. And that redemption is total and complete. It's not just a partial redemption. You know, if you know anything about pawn shops, you know, pawn shops are kind of an interesting place. And they're really a good place to get some good deals, if you can find a good one. But, you know, if you need money, what they do is, you like, you have an expensive watch or a diamond ring. Well, you go to the pawn shop and they will give you, technically speaking, a third of the value. And that they hold the object, whatever it is, as collateral. And that you have so many days to redeem it, to buy it back. And then you have to buy it back with interest, right? Because they have to make money on it. But if you don't get there in the allotted amount of time, I forget how long it is, 90 days or 120 days, then they can sell it. That's why you see in pawn shops all the stuff hanging and in cases, and you get some really great deals sometimes on some really amazing stuff. So, but you redeem it, right? You buy it back. Jesus Christ bought us back with his life. He paid for it. But then he rose from the dead. And that's how he redeemed us. Because he conquered the devil. He conquered death. He conquered sin for us. So that we could be righteous. So that we could be wise. So that we could be sanctified. Sanctified like he's sanctified. Set apart. Holy. That's what the word sanctified means, right? Holy. And it says that we're holy, just like he's holy. Think about that. You're holy as he is holy. Isn't that wild? So when we were born again, you know, we received that Holy Spirit and we were made righteous or just. We were sanctified. We're righteous as he is righteous. We're sanctified as he is sanctified. We're anointed as he is anointed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount, so-called. You know, there's another sermon in, or another teaching in Luke that's confused with this, and it's not on a mount, it's in a valley. A valley is the opposite of a mount. It's kind of funny. Anyway, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Wow, pure in heart. Well, we know that someday we will see God, don't we? Right? Because we know that we're going to be in the gathering and we'll be with the Lord forever. And we'll be in the presence of God. So that would imply that we have a pure heart. You know, now he's talking to the Jews and he's talking about the future. But we, at that future in Matthew, at that teaching is a reality for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, some of the things that Jesus Christ teaches in the Gospels, you really have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to who he's teaching, who he's talking to, what the situation is, what the circumstances are, and what he's saying. Because a lot of people get confused, you know, like if there's an earthquake, they say, oh, it's the end times. The judgment's coming, because there's a verse in there that talks about there'll be earthquakes and there'll be wars and there'll be this and there'll be that. And he's talking about the end times. He's not talking about right now. Because there's always been floods. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been wars. There's always been rumors of wars, you know. So you have to read what he's saying, who he's saying it to, and what the context is. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ Jesus, right? And you notice it says Christ Jesus. It talks about in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, to emphasize, you know, that he's the Christ, the anointed one, and he's the one that conquered death. Verse 7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood. He paid the price with his blood, and we have remission. The word forgiveness is the word remission, a total wiping clean of our sins. Do you ever clean a window and smear it? Richard knows about this because he used to clean windows. He cleans windows. You know, if you're not careful, if you don't look at it carefully, you'll always get streaks and smears, right? And then it looks great at first, but then when the light hits it a different way, it always happens in my windshield. No matter what, there's always somewhere a streak in my windshield. It's never perfect. We have remission of sins. It's perfectly clean, perfectly washed away. And it's like you have Rain-X, you know, where it doesn't get dirty again, except it lasts forever. That washing away is permanent, forever. In verse 4, what does it say? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We're holy and without blame. It's pretty great, isn't it? There's no blame. There's no anything. We're holy. We're set apart. As he is holy, we are holy. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. When you think about yourself, do you think about yourself as holy? You know, we probably don't think about those things a whole lot, but we should. Wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you go, holy cow, no, I am holy. That's what a Hindu would do. Holy cow.
Oh my gosh.
But a Christian could say, I am holy. Holy me. Chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that great? Unreprovable, unblameable. Holy. You can't just get that in your brain enough. Just, you know, you think about Jesus Christ. Everything you think about Jesus Christ is true of us once we're born again. You know, not that we're sons of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 22, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 22, it says, flee all, this is Paul, you know, writing to Timothy, preparing him to be a minister, to teach and lead God's people. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith or believing, charity, the love of God, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, don't we? So as he is, so are we in pureness of heart. Let's go back to Matthew again. And it says in verse 9, we read verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Who is the great peacemaker? Jesus Christ. He was called the Prince of Peace, right? What a great thing. Let's go to James chapter 3. Chapter 3 of James, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. No, that's not it.
James 3,
18. Oh. Yeah, I went to verse 2. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, those that make peace, it says that they have the fruit of righteousness. It's sown, it's planted in them. That's pretty cool when you think about it. But what does it mean, peace? Well, Jesus Christ came to bring peace to us with God, right? He took away everything that's between us and God. All the enmity, all the sin, all the shortcomings. We just read that we're unblameable and perfect in His sight. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Jesus Christ paid the full price of our redemption to take away everything that would come between us and God, right? He took care of the sin situation, the sin problem. He took away the enmity between man and God. And He reconciled man back to God so that we could have peace with God. He didn't come to make peace in the world. You know, everybody's always talking about peace in the world. There's never been peace since the fall of Adam. And there won't be peace again until Christ comes back. So, you know, you can, you know, take that for what it is, but you know, we do our best to have peace. We don't want wars and chaos. But the real peace we have is we have that peace with God, and when we have that peace of God, then we can have that fruit of the Spirit peace in our soul and in our spirit, where we are at peace. You know, we're at peace. We can be quiet and listen to God and be assured of our relationship with Him and just be blessed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 5 again. We read about how we were made the righteousness of God in chapter 5. In verse 21, in verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we already saw a bunch of stuff about what we are in Christ, right? And it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of or by God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. And the word Jesus is not in the text. It should read, He hath reconciled us by Himself, to Himself by Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit means to know. It's King James English. To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, whenever we, if we go and speak the word to somebody, and they get born again, we've been a peacemaker. You know, when we tell somebody the word and teach them the word, we're peacemakers. Blessed are they that are peacemakers. As he's a peacemaker, so are we a peacemaker. He was the Prince of Peace, and he brought man peace through the gospel. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've already seen this, but we'll look at it again. In chapter 5, verse 23, it says, the very God of peace. There you go. He's the very God of peace. You know, true peace really comes from God, right? True peace. It doesn't come from sounds of nature or peaceful music or Zen or politicians, yeah, or your psychiatrist, or psychologist, or drugs, or, I mean, drugs can numb you, but they don't give you peace. So here it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Means makes you holy, right? He makes you holy, holy. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has sanctified us and made us whole, holy. Okay, let's go to John chapter 10. Gospel of John. Getting a workout with your fingers here. Remember, this is all about as he is, so are we. Chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them. Who did he answer? The guys that were always giving him a hard time. The Pharisees and scribes and all those guys. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods, small g. If he called them gods, God called the Israel in the Exodus gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, that thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God? You know, we're sons of God, right? As he is a son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. It says in verse 11, and such were some of you. You know, speaking about the things it said before, you know, you were idolaters, fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Okay, all those things. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified or made righteous in the name of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God. All those things were accomplished in the new birth. All those things were accomplished, and it was accomplished and made available to us because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of glory. What a great thing. As he is sanctified and holy, so are we. We don't need to focus on anything except the Christ. Not who Christ was, but who he is, right? The triumphant Christ, the victorious Christ, the Christ seated at the right hand of God. Our identity is with the risen Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. As he is, so are we today, right now. Not in the future, but right now. Now, when he comes back, it does say he will change our vile body. And, you know, what does a vile body mean? It just means it's going to wear out. You know, it's going to
decay,
corrupt, all that stuff. But until then, we're good. You know, he's going to take care of us. And let's go to chapter 15. That's what we identify with, the triumphant Christ, the victorious Christ. And in verse 57 of chapter 15, it says, and the whole chapter is about the resurrection and the gathering together. The whole chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. He's made us holy. He's redeemed us. He's given us peace. He's given us wisdom. He's made us righteous. He's done all those things. As he is, so are we. So, amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that as he is, so are we. We thank you that we can walk in that triumph and that victory that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. That when we think of ourselves, we don't think of ourselves according to the world, but we think of ourselves according to what you say in your word, who we are, that we're joint heirs, that we're your children, that we're sanctified and holy and without blame, without blemish, without spot, that we are beautiful and perfect in your sight. And we thank you for that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.